Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby, and this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we had to talk Scotland, of course, and we spoke to an old pal, Mark Donaldson from ESPN, who found himself suddenly commentating on his home nation. He'll explain all, and you'll hear the moment when that penalty was saved through his eyes. We also had a chat this afternoon with Martin Kellner, as always, squad number nine. And he looked at a week of sport on TV. Daniel Gray joined us. Fine author. His new book is Extra Time, and it's a lovely read. You'll hear from Daniel. Plus, we spoke to Mike Ward as well from The Star, and looked at some non-sporting tennis and big TV events away from sport this weekend. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. And what a great night. So Scotland, wasn't it? Especially when they conceded so late. It was amazing. But it was a really enjoyable game. And it was because it had jeopardy. There was so much on the game. It was the best game of the week by far. I really enjoyed it. And it's not that I don't like international football. I've decided I just don't like sport without jeopardy. I don't like sport that's just for the money. Mm. I understand why it's there, but I'm not interested. But that was great. That was great sport, great football. And well done to Scotland.
Yeah,
one thing.
Oh, yeah.
Just one thing, though. I'd forgotten they're in our group, and that is the worst thing. Honestly, you can hear Ali McCoy say, it's so... They don't care about the tournament. They don't care what happens. As long as they beat us on that Friday night, that's it. And they'll put so much into it. You know, so it's a hard game for England, that. A harder game than Serbia would have been, I think.
Oh, no. No, it's a tough group anyway. It's going to be pretty tough going with Croatia in there. But it was an amazing game. I successfully flicked around. You can't normally do that because I wanted to keep an eye on Northern Ireland and I wanted to obviously keep an eye on England. And, of course, England's... So I was flicking back and just kind of looking at my phone, see if anything was going on all the time and watching a bit of the Scotland game, waving the TV. And it worked. Normally, that's a disaster. Didn't miss any goals. As soon as it was 3-0 to England, I knew it was done. I saw the subs come on and kind of thought, nothing else is going to happen now. So stuck with Scotland from that point throughout. But then, of course, I flicked over at Northern Ireland just at the end of that game to watch them celebrating. And they equalised. So that was a disaster. So that was a bit of a blow. But, successful flicking around generally doesn't work, as I found on Champions League nights. But
I agree with you.
Yeah, it was a cracking game. And the last sort of 40-odd minutes of the Scotland game were amazing.
It was. A couple of notes from it. Lyndon Dykes, who I thought was brilliant, actually. Yeah. I haven't seen him play before. I thought he was excellent. He was born in Australia to Scottish parents. I was thinking, he must really want England to lose the Ashes. Can you imagine? He's Scottish and Australian.
If this is either a don't ask me moment from me or you, because we had Lyndon on the show, but I can't remember whether you were off that day and I was on with Charlie or Max, but we did have a chat with him on the show about 2 months ago. So you don't remember that at all, do you?
I don't remember it at all.
We'll try and look back and see if you were on that day.
Don't bother. You know it was me. Don't bother.
Lovely guy.
I'll just automatically assume the humiliation. You don't have to waste time researching it. Maksimovic, I thought he could have played for Scotland.
Yeah, that's true.
Mixed. And it was all in all pretty good night. And I managed to, talking about flicking around, I just caught Tiger on the 18th going for a birdie, which he didn't
make. Oh, so you flicked around and got some golf with that. That is bold. That's top flicking. That's Premier League flicking if you add a bit of golf in as well. That's brilliant.
The thing is, you've probably had a small wager as well, and I mean small, but I've had a small wager on Reed, Woods, Westwood, and then they all brilliantly, all four under. And then I went with Bob's tip, Patrick Cantlay. Yeah, thanks, Bob.
Yeah, didn't work out quite so well. I was on Reed as well, so
yeah, he's well in there. So
yeah, he's looking good. Pretty good. So anyway, we shall see. We'll see how that all pans out. And I thought you'd like this. I don't know if you've seen that the World Health Expo is on at the moment. It's taking place at the moment. Mm. The World Health Expo. It's an exhibition of high tech personal protection equipment. Obviously, very timely at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's at 1 week a year. This is the second time they've done it, and it's all the latest technology and all the things in the PPE market. Have a guess where they're holding it. Have a guess where they're holding it this year.
I thought you could say it was cancelled. Okay. I don't know. Where's bad? Brazil, somewhere like that.
Have another guess.
America.
No, I'll give you one more. And just think of the least likely place where this is taking place this week.
New Zealand?
No. Wuhan.
Okay. Wuhan?
Oh, yeah. Somebody at the World Health Expo organising committee has got a real sense of humour, hasn't he? Let's put it on in Wuhan. And you get 20% off if you bring your own pangolin with you. No, it's not true, actually. But seriously, I mean, you would have thought this year, maybe we shouldn't hold it in Wuhan this year. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
I think you've got a point, actually.
That's true, yeah.
And one thing I was shocked, I saw that Greg Clark had to give up his role at FIFA due to all the problems he had. One thing, I didn't even know he was paid. He gets £190,000.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Talk about money for old rope. What does he even do for that money? It's unbelievable. I thought he was the chairman of the FA. How does he find time to do something for FIFA that's worth £190,000 a year?
Yeah.
Gosh,
you would have thought he would have come in the remit of being part of the FA if you're an elected official to do something on the FA's behalf. For FIFA, or was it something he did personally? I don't know.
That's right. Now, I took your advice this morning, Paul. Very good advice. And I did a bit of Joe Wicks.
Oh, good. You tried it.
Yeah, because remember yesterday I said to you, I was doing 15 minutes running on the spot. I was really bored. It wasn't doing a lot for my mental health either. So I thought I'll try this. And of course, he's brilliant, isn't he?
He is.
There's no question about it. But it surprised me. I didn't realise that he had asthma. And obviously, he's very, very fit. But at the same time, he's like really out. But I thought, you're less fit than I am. He was really struggling.
I don't think he is, Andy. I really don't. He's just done 24 hours for children in need. I don't think he's less fit than you. So which one did you do? I'm interested. Did you do a 20-minute
high intensity? Yeah.
Right.
I couldn't fully do it, to be really fair. The old, throwing yourself on the floor, leaping up again.
Burpees and stuff. He likes a burpee.
My burpees days are a bit behind me, I have to be honest. But it was good. It was excellent.
I can confirm,
deserves
Andy.
Deserves all the credit he gets.
Our researchers have looked into it, and you were on that day and had a 10-minute chat with Lyndon Dykes, and you were just parroting back information about the guy that we spoke to him about on that day, which is obviously why we still do Don't Ask Me every week. It's great.
Never mind.
I've made
probably made the
same
special. Joke as well.
You probably did.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's all right. What can you do?
Anything else you want to discuss?
Yes, we've talked about this thing, the Instagram, that you feel your phone's listening to you, so therefore you talk about something, and the next minute an advert comes up. There was a whole program about how this all works, the algorithms. But this one, there was a privacy guide by one of the sort of, what do you call them? Mozilla, what do you call those things? Search engines.
Oh, yeah.
It says, a gift guide is warning shoppers against products most likely to spy on us, and it turned out to be a coffee maker that can eavesdrop on you.
Really, what about that?
Yeah. Put some more milk in.
So what does it do? It tells you to reorder, does it? And if you're running out?
I suppose so, yeah. Yeah, I suppose it sends your phone something that's saying you need coffee or something. I don't know. It's odd, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it is a bit. Anyway, all right, then. So you're having your coffee at the moment. Fantastic. All right for some.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We're going to take you back to Belgrade last night. And over on ESPN in the States, a proud Scotsman was commentating. These are the dying seconds of the game before that penalty.
Missed recently for Fulham.
Must score here.
Has to score here. Mitrovic against Marshall. Saved! Scotland are going to the Euros! Unbelievable! Craig Burley will not be mentioned again as the last Scottish player to score at a major tournament! Don't you dare, Farr! Don't you dare, Farr! This would be the most Scottish thing ever if they said retake. Mitrovic misses. What a save from David Marshall. And because this is bonus coverage on ESPN, there is no requirement for a commentator to be neutral.
Well, I think that's fair enough to say. Mark Donaldson was commentating there. He joins us now from the States. Hey, Mark, how are you feeling this morning?
Fantastic.
A little bit of a sore throat, boys. How are you?
What a wonderful moment, though, as a long-serving Scot, to be on air, to be broadcasting to the world at that moment.
So there's a story behind this. I was commentating on Northern Ireland, Slovakia, along with Janusz Mihalik. And our producer, 2 minutes from the end, after Slovakia had scored, she came up with an idea. Amy McTighe is her name. She came up with an idea and she said, we could do the Scotland penalties if it doesn't overlap. So she didn't tell me. And then at the end, I'm thinking I'm going to wrap up on the Northern Ireland coverage. She goes, right, we're going to Belgrade now and you're going to commentate on the penalties. I'm like, you're kidding. So that's why I said bonus coverage right at the end. And when I look back now and I hear what I said, I think to myself, there's no guarantee we're even going to score at the Euros this next summer. So Craig Burley might indeed still be the last. And I work with Craig. He lives 2 minutes along the road from me in Connecticut. I just hope we score. Just give us a goal. That's all we're saying, is give us a goal at the Euros.
Yeah. It was performance last night. They played brilliantly. I mean, you'll now have to, you can watch it back and without the jeopardy of knowing. I mean, the last minute equaliser. I mean, it was just gutting it. But it was, as I was saying to Jim and I've said to Ali Ross, you know, it wouldn't be Scotland if it was a routine 1-0 that you deserved, would it really?
No, normality is boring. And everyone in Scotland thinks that. We think glass is half empty. Maybe this is the catalyst for us to finally have a little bit of belief and think glass is half full, given what Rangers and Celtic have done in the European competitions and carried Scotland on their back in the last couple of years, which has been great. And from a Scottish perspective now, it gives us something to look forward to. Mm. And, okay, there's the, oh, we're Scottish, what's going to happen now? But I think what Stevie Clarke has done is he's instilled a belief in a squad that's talented, but maybe was just lacking that when they pulled on that jersey. And when you look at the group now, never mind just scoring, we've got two games at Hampden against the Czech Republic and against Croatia, and a game against England at Wembley. That's brilliant.
Oh, no, it's going to be fantastic. And Steve Clarke has done a brilliant job. I mean, you have to say Scotland have got some very good players, but they probably haven't got the depth England have got. But you know that won't matter a jot on the night.
That's the thing, Andy, as well, because you look at 2016 and you see that I think it was 4 of the 6 third-place teams qualified for the group for the knockout stages, Slovakia, Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland and Portugal. So this isn't a need to beat England. I don't think we will beat England, although you never know. But if we finish second in that group, we know we're going through. And crucially for Scotland, the thing is, if we can finish third in that group, we've got a 4 out of 6 chance of going through as well. So the two games at Hampden are the big ones for progress. The game against England at Wembley is just one to enjoy.
The footage in the dressing room after the game was good. And interesting choice of music. Yes, Sir, I Can Boogie, the old Baccarat song from the 70s. But
yes.
I was looking into it, and apparently it's about Andrew Considine, isn't it? The Aberdeen player. I think it was quite an infamous, was it Stag Do video emerged, and it's become a bit of an unofficial anthem.
Yeah, he dressed up in drag. And to be honest, I don't care. If someone had said that all the Tartan Army have to dress up in drag and that's the only way you're going to get to the Euros next year, then great. But, I mean, guys like Andrew Considine, who he might not be the most gifted footballer in the world, but there's very few that care more about Scotland. And he thought his chance had come. He didn't think he was going to get a call-up. Ryan Christie's interview. A friend of mine, Luke Shanley, who works for Sky Sports, he did the interview. And I just said to him afterwards, how good was that? He said it was just everything pouring out, not caring what people think. He was in tears, Ryan Christie. And that's what it means to guys like that, for Andrew Considine, for Ryan Christie, and Craig Gordon at Hearts as well. He was on the bench backing up to David Marshall. He's 37. He thought he would never play in a major tournament again. He might not play next summer, but he could be involved. And he left Celtic. He took a gamble to drop down a division to Hearts. He's back in the international side after a great performance against Hibs in the Scottish Cup semi-final. And it's stories like that. And England will want to win. Scotland will just want to get there. We have, and we'll just want to get through. And we're going to enjoy it, trust me. At least we've got something to look forward to now.
Sure, absolutely.
You've got to be joking. Your whole... The next 9 months will be definitely all about beating England. There'll be nothing else about anything. Come off it. And but what a save... What a save from David Marshall. That was... No, no, but what a save from David Marshall. We should say, I mean, not only in the penalties, but in the extra time. I mean, it wasn't just for the camera. Sometimes they say a save like that, but that was really needed to be a flying save. It was wonderful.
But when you watched it back, I was a little bit frightened he'd come off. I thought we were going to start forensically. Oh, yeah, well, you're saying, VAR, don't you dare. But when you watch it, it's pretty tight, isn't it, Mark?
Well, that's the interesting thing. So a colleague of mine at ESPN, Dale Johnson, who I'm sure you've seen post VAR updates every single Monday, he said the referee got that one spot on because one leg was on the line, or one foot was on the line, and the other was hovering above it, and then it moved. So legally, it was fine. But that's another thing, and I don't want to take anything away from what Scotland achieved yesterday. But a save and a penalty shootout, that was it previously. Now, you could actually hear the referee prior to the final Mitrovic penalty saying, just wait to David Marshall. If you save it or he misses, just wait until maybe 5 seconds and then I can give you the go-ahead. That's what VAR's done. And that would be the only slight thing. Just to take that 5 seconds back, it should be joy unconfined immediately. But we had that little moment of doubt. That's because of VAR.
It's a great image, though, isn't it, of him standing just with his arms out, looking in the referee's face, and then going. It's a look, I mean, I agree with you. It has taken that kind of split-second moment of emotion.
It was still pretty good.
It was good. Mark, we're going to have to leave it there. All the best. We'll no doubt we'll speak to you in the build-up to the Euros. All the best. Thanks very much.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, it's not 3 o'clock. Don't worry, it's an hour earlier than usual. It's Martin Kellner with a week of sport on TV. Sorry for throwing out your body clock there, Martin.
Yes, I know. Well, why keep them waiting? Let's do it. Let's do it right here.
Where should we start this week? Where would you, well, like, let, would you like to talk
yeah,
about?
Let's start with shoeless Joe Jackson, because there are some subjects, and I've mentioned this in the past, that I would never tire of documentaries or feature films about. Muhammad Ali, Brian Clough, and shoeless Joe Jackson is one. It's such a fantastic story. And I watched this documentary called Backstory Banned for Life, which I think may have 3 episodes in it. I watched one on Sky Documentaries. It's an ESPN video. Don Van Natto.
Don Van Natta, yes, he wrote a brilliant book. We spoke to him a few times about golf cheats amongst the presidents. I think he'll have to update it very soon.
Yes,
of course.
He will.
But it's a brilliant book. So we're aware of Don's work.
Yeah, well, it's a great show. I mean, it was a story that I didn't know. In the summer of 1978, there was a cache of old movies discovered. The way he puts it, deep in the northern Yukon of Canada, an old hockey rink was dug up. And buried underneath was an accidental discovery for the ages: 500 canisters of forgotten silent era movies and newsreels, literally frozen in time. It's one of the rare occasions I've heard the word literally used exactly as it should, because they were. I don't know whether you're aware of this story, but in 2014, one of the reels was finally seen. And the one, it was the Shoeless Joe Jack, you know, the Field of Dreams game, if you like. The third game of the World Series from Cincinnati against the Chicago White Sox. And that 1919 series was the famous fixed series, and as he says, you know, 100 years later, still relevant. I mean, what people forget, and I'd forgotten this myself, was that they were actually acquitted when the trial was on, but later, when there was a completely unconnected gambling case, and when that was investigated, then they made an example of Shoeless Joe Jackson and some of the others. And even on it, and we had all the famous scene there, say it ain't so, etc., etc. And we also had the director of the brilliant film, which I know you'll have seen, Eight Men Out, the 1988 movie. John Sayles, director of that, was on the show as well. Really interesting.
Is this a 30 for 30, Martin? Is this?
No, it's not. It's okay. An ESPN doco, and it's, you know, if you go on the internet, it's there, because I had a look. People are always asking where these things are.
Yeah.
I watched it on Sky Documentaries,
okay,
so it's probably still there on your TV. But
good,
if it's not, you will find it on the internet.
Now, the next one you're going to move on to is it's contentious, isn't it? I've not watched it yet. I've seen a lot of pushback on it. It's about Oscar Pistorius, and there is a feeling that it's the kind of the take on what happened is kind of too far slanted to him and not the victim.
Exactly. I think what's happened is it's unbalanced. You know, sometimes when you, because it's a three-part series, and one assumes at some point the BBC will get, or the documentary makers will get round to the fact that he is actually a convicted murderer. But the first episode, and I can see why it's happened, but it's happened in a rather unfortunate way. You know, when you read the, as you say, the pushback on social media, it's a BBC Two Storyville documentary, and that, you know, you're usually quite reliable, but it's rather like when you read a court case in the newspaper, and you read the first day's coverage when they're laying out the prosecution, if you like, and you think, wow, that's terrible, this guy's definitely going to be convicted. But then the defence comes in and you think, well, I'm not so sure. So you get a sort of balanced picture. What's happened here is they've come in with the defence before the prosecution, if you like. So it starts off with a sort of history of Oscar Pistorius, which is it's a heroic story, as we know. You know, Oscar Pistorius, you hear some audio from Oscar Pistorius' mother about what he went through, the operation that he had when he was 11 months old. You see a little bit of the history of South Africa, what a sort of a state really suffering at the end of apartheid, suffering post-traumatic stress disorder, if you like, you know, when you think of the level of violence on the street. And then also they go into the fact that burglary and people, you know, intruding in people's houses was sort of endemic in the 80s. So if you like, building up a defence for Oscar Pistorius with only a few mentions of and a few interviews with people connected with Reeva Steenkamp. You know, all the people who are interviewed really are friends, family of Oscar Pistorius, or you know, people who were on the Paralympic team with him and all that. So I can see why. I mean, I would hope that I'm certainly going to watch the next episode on Sunday just to see if they do even it up a bit. But the way they've presented it, I think, is a big mistake. Well, you know, they will know themselves it's a big mistake if they simply, you know, look at social media and what's, you know, and what's been said about the programme.
And they're going out on Sunday nights, but they're also on the iPlayer, obviously, aren't they?
They absolutely are.
Now, I think Andy mentioned this Bruce Lee documentary last week. I've not watched it. Andy loved it. I think you've caught it as well, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's fantastic. He's such a fascinating character, and there is, again, some great footage in this, including his screen test, you know, the screen test that he did back in black and white. I also didn't know, you know, what with my newfound interest in Strictly Come Dancing, I was fascinated to learn that in 1957, Bruce Lee was the Hong Kong cha-cha champion. There's a fact about Bruce Lee.
Wow, what about
that? Yeah, it's in the documentary, which it reminded me of a quote, which now sort of makes sense when you see, see scenes from some of the movies. And, I mean, the story is he settled in Seattle and set up schools, you know, kung fu, schools to teach kung fu. But the traditionalists who weren't in favour of him wanted him to close them all down, didn't appreciate Bruce Lee. So they sent some bloke who was a traditional, you know, who was a traditional kung fu guy called Wong Jack Man, who came to Bruce Lee's school, and Bruce Lee, of course, beat him hollow, you know, and was absolutely fantastic. But it reminded me of a quote that W.C. Fields made about Charlie Chaplin years ago, when he saw Charlie Chaplin and said afterwards, "The guy's a goddamn ballet dancer." And when you watch Bruce Lee, you think, yeah, he, you know, He's a dancer as much. And you also see him doing one thumb push-ups.
Oh, blimey.
Don't try this at home.
Well, Andy's started doing Joe Wick, so maybe you can move on to the one thumb push-ups, Andy.
Just the one thing I'd say about this movie that really shocked me was I'd forgotten how young he was when he died, and also the absolute tragedy of because he struggled against racism. There was a lot of racism against Chinese actors, against Chinese people in America that you don't always hear about. And then just as he's about to crack it, just as the thing's about to happen and be premiered in America, he dies and he never gets to see what a great success
he was. You've both whetted my appetite. I will go and find that. Gents, we're out of time, afraid, with the live sport and everything else that's going on. Martin, we will catch up with you next week, but you're back overnight, I take it, on Talk Radio and Talk Sport.
Overnight, 1 a.m, Ho Chi Minh City, can't wait.
Thanks very much. Martin Kellner there with a week of sport on TV.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talk Sport.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We're big fans of the books of Daniel Gray, and he has a new one out, Extra Time, 50 Further Delights of Modern Football. And very pleased to say he joins us now. Good afternoon, Daniel.
Hello, how are you?
Yes, we're good, thank you. So, again, how best to explain the book? They're kind of short pieces on kind of little touchstones from the world of football, things we all recognise, little moments at the games and things that go on, like, for example, a midweek match of the day. We always look forward to one of those. Being in an empty ground, I'm just flicking through at random, scoring in quick successions.
Yeah.
Well, not at the moment, that's true.
That might have dated.
That's not aged quite so well, is it? Yeah. But I'll use the word whimsical. I don't know if you like that or not, but there is that kind of feel. That's why us and other people like the books.
No, I think that's fair enough. It's a sequel to Saturday 3 p.m, as you might have said, so a continuation of finding those little delights that we love, whether they're on the pitch or they're about fan culture or the things that we witness in the matches. That particular one about being in an empty stadium, this book was written in January and February.
Yes.
Of course, about the times when I'm in a strange town and I think I'm going to walk to the football ground and creep in a side door. But yeah, strangely, that's become a bit prophetic, as is the one called Listening to the Players, being able to hear the players, which was a privilege before all of this. All of those little things, from slightly more, I hope, amusing ones about when the referee falls over and animals on the pitch and patting police horses, through to things like the roar after a minute's silence and players celebrating in front of you, and when the ball goes over a stand with all those, the minutiae of fan culture that we cherish so much.
When you're putting together this book, I mean, are you doing it just by sitting down and thinking of all these great moments, or are you chatting to mates and sort of getting things that you all agree on? How do you go about researching a book like this?
Really, for the first book called Saturday 3pm, again, it was 50, and I'd had about 20 I didn't use for whatever reason. And I just it kept coming to me in the following 2 years, little things I'd missed. Like, I didn't even do one in that book about when goalkeepers go forward. And I thought, I have to write a book just to write about that, because it's one of the great phenomenons of football. Ditto indirect free kicks in the box. There were things I couldn't believe I'd missed first time, but usually it's things that have come to me sort of watching telly or being at matches, and some of them have come on, suggested to me on Twitter and through correspondence since the first book as well. And then it's a case of, is there enough in it to write a whole chapter about it? And then sitting and thinking through everything I love about that particular delight.
Yeah. Jeering disallowed goals is another one that that you cover. That's something that we all enjoy, isn't it? It's a kind of panto jeer.
It's taken on a straight. I didn't know whether to write too much about VAR in that one, because there's a sort of a different level to it now, or was when we were in Premier League stadiums, a jeer upon the jeer. And it becomes a bit more complicated. So I wrote about the rest of the game thinking of that one. Also, when the other team hits the side netting and their fans celebrate and you get to jeer at that point is glorious.
There was also one on cup draws, and I've always been, and you kick it off by talking about the former head of the FA, Graham Kelly, who was a secretary at the FA, wasn't he? And we used to love Graham Kelly. He was so much part of that, wasn't he? Games to be played on the 15th and 16th of February. It was like it was a part of your youth growing up listening to that.
It really was. And how these are supposed to be things that are still great about the game, and the FA Cup draw, while a bit different now, they're still relying on those clacking balls, which I think is great in an age when you'd expect it to be done on a computer somehow. even now, when it's just one player doing it due to reasons of hand sanitizer and other things.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
It's 50 short essays, and we always say about books like this, it's great for the smallest room in the house, isn't it?
Very much.
Pick it up, and then,
I'm absolutely fine with that. That's one of the few places I get privacy, and I think many of your listeners might be the same.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I think Tom Greatrix has been in touch on the FSA, who says, taking your daughter to football, that piece worth the price of the book alone, he says. Mm. That a little feature
lovely,
that's in there.
Yeah, because in the first book, my daughter hadn't been to a match yet, and we live near the Hibs ground, because I live in Scotland now, and she was always at the window trying to ask me about football and say, so that one was called My Daughter Listening at the Window, in the 3 years since she's been to 27 matches, so it's all about anyone who's gone with their kid, in fact anyone who's gone with a parent will recognise the themes in that one, I hope.
Did you give her any choice finally, Daniel, in who she could support? Were you the one of those come right? No, I'm all for that kind of parenting.
She has got two. She has got Hibs and she has got Middlesbrough, so she's got an English and Scottish team who rarely win anything. So.
Okay, so you're in an Anglo-Scottish household, right? So this is a good day.
It is, yeah. I've enjoyed other people's joy, put it that way, but it'll be a different atmosphere in June when they're calling me all sorts of names, but we'll leave that for another day. That's just my daughter.
Good stuff. Well, it's another great book. Good. We highly recommend them. They're great. They're a great reader, a lot of fun, and we wish you well with it. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on again.
Pleasure. Extra Time, 50 Further Delights of Modern Football, Daniel Gray. Wonderful Christmas present, I'd say.
Mm, nice little stocking filler.
Yeah, it certainly is. All the football lovers in your family. They're excellent books and highly recommended.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We're going to look at some non-sporting, there's enough sport on, but some non-sporting TV now in the company of Mike Ward from The Star, Brighton supporting Mike Ward. Good afternoon, Mike.
Switched, actually.
Yeah, you have switched. Yeah,
Birmingham.
Come on, the Blues.
Yeah.
Now, tonight dominated, Mike, isn't it, by Children in Need?
It is dominated, yeah, although it's not dominated as much as it normally is, because normally it starts at 7 o'clock and goes on till sort of Easter. But because of the way things are, it's kind of hard to sustain it for that long. So they've squeezed it all into 3 hours. So it basically stops at 10 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, you normally get the news, and then you switch over to BBC Two for something or other, then you come back home. They don't do that. It's done and dusted. So it's all squeezed in, but they're doing a lot of the usual stuff. So you've got Joe Wicks turning up after his 24-hour PE challenge, and you've got a bit of, you know, a Strictly thing and an EastEnders thing. Doctor Who thing.
That's how massive and enthusiastic, Mike.
Well, it's a format.
That's how I feel about it.
And do you know what? It's a very weird thing, because I know a lot of people who say, oh, really? But it's one of those things you think, great. I mean, I always give money, and if you know, and if you can afford to give some money, give some money. I think you kind of buy the right. If you give the money, you buy the right to sort of
watch something else.
Watch something else, because
that's the way I look to say it.
Exactly. I don't mean that sounds more mean spirited than I'm, you know, because I know it's really important and it does some great things. But you know, I think it's safe to say that the quality dips occasionally, and as long as your heart's in the right place when you watch it, that's
and you've made a donation.
That's what I do.
I think that's key. Yeah. Andy, you're looking forward to the James May Cookery Show on Amazon Prime, aren't you?
Yes, that does sound a bit odd.
It's very strange. I mean, they can't go around doing the grand tour or any of the other stuff at the moment. So this is literally in the kitchen. But what I quite like about it, I mean, because he does do these other shows as well, doesn't he? Occasionally, his engineering thing and his taking things apart and putting them back together again type of shows. He approaches it with a sort of from a perspective of, I don't know anything about cooking. I can't cook. But rather than do the sort of, you know, look at me, aren't I useless, which would be really, really tedious after about 5 minutes and not very watchable. He actually says, look, I don't know, but I think I can learn if I can do this. And he approaches it sort of quite a scientific way, because obviously a lot of cooking is science, really, isn't it? Mm. And it's quite interesting to watch, because he has fun with it and it's quite self-deprecating. But at the same time, he gets to the end of it and he has made stuff. And you actually watch it and think, oh, yeah, OK, James May can do it, I can do it.
OK, well, that's good. Amazon Prime from today.
It doesn't cut to Richard Hammond burning himself in the kitchen.
His gloves on fire. Strictly, Nicola Adams, everyone from the world of sport, and Katja Jones are out, of course, because of the virus. You say Bill Bailey is now the favourite.
I mean, it's interesting watching him, because we've talked about him every week and the fact that he was 66-1 originally. Yeah. And then he started performing. And it's interesting when you watch him, because he's not clowning around. He really is sort of doing it for real, and he's very, very proud of how much he's achieving. And that sounds like condescending, because it isn't, because he is doing really well. And the musicality that he's obviously got as part of his act really is helping him. And he's doing a rap tomorrow, which is great.
Oh, is he?
Something rappy based. I don't know whether he's doing the actual rapping, because he's meant to be dancing, but I don't know. We'll see. So anyway,
that's good. I've not watched a minute. I've got finished, but I like Bill Bailey. He's a funny man.
He is a very funny man.
I imagine he'll be very good in this.
Makes it very watchable.
Now Sunday, two huge bits of telly on Sunday. I'm a Celebrity from a Welsh castle, not the Outback, of course.
Yeah.
And The Crown. Let's start with I'm a Celebrity. Then what are your expectations? Well, looking at the lineup.
This is interesting, isn't it? I mean, the lineup's interesting. You know, obviously, everybody comes at these things from a different perspective as far as you know who you care about, but the fact that Sir Mo Farah's there is going to be interesting. Shane Ritchie, you sort of think, hasn't Shane Ritchie been in it before? It feels like Shane Ritchie should have been in it every year. Vernon Kay, Victoria Derbyshire, Liz McDonald from Coronation Street. It's a good selection, but what's interesting, obviously, because they've been forced to do it in somewhere different, I'm kind of thinking, I just think they'll make a really good job of it. And I wonder whether that would set the precedent. I wonder whether we might get to a point where they say, do we need to just do the jungle thing every year, the same, year in, year out? Oh, right. If they're going to do it from now on.
Good point.
Could they maybe just ring the changes on an annual basis so that it just feels a bit more fresh? Because it does get quite samey over 20 years. You know?
That's an interesting thought. We spoke to Jim White from The Telegraph at the start of the week, who made the point that although some sports people have won it, a lot haven't. And generally it's because they're a bit too competitive. They kind of get their sporting hat on and they look a bit desperate and a bit needy.
Well, I'm glad he picked up from what I said about Victoria Pendleton last week.
That's probably what it was.
You're just listening to me.
Great minds,
he
I'd
does
say.
That, yeah. It's great minds. But no, it is true. I think if you have that competitive mentality, it's great when we're watching them, you know, in the Olympics or watching our team play. But actually, it doesn't translate very well to that kind of show busy, sort of chummy environment where you've got to show yourself as somewhat more, broader personality and be a bit self-deprecating, whatever. And I think it doesn't always come across as well as they'd like it to. Yeah. So that'd be interesting.
Now The Crown's back. We should crack on and talk about that because time's pressing.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say, actually. Yeah.
Sorry, Andy.
I just wanted to make a point about The Crown. I love The Crown, but I've noticed something this week, and I've noticed it before, about that when they match the clothes that the people were wearing, so there's a shot of Diana wearing a dress and the shot of the fake Diana, same with Olivia Colman and the Queen, they never quite get the clothes right. There's one of the Queen today, she's wearing like, Olivia's got a blue sash on and the Queen famously has got a black. You think, is there some sort of copyright on royal clothes?
There is a strange thing. Yeah. That's the equivalent of when they show newspaper front pages in TV dramas and they never use the right time. Typeface.
Oh.
There you are. That's a really, really tedious
good observation.
But yeah,
anyway,
you should be doing that in that kind
thing.
Of voice, really, Mike. Shouldn't you? You do know they never use the same kind of typeface. It's one of those, isn't it, really?
I don't know. Anyway, it's kind of voice.
Yeah. It's going to be good, isn't it?
It's good, yeah. It moves on to the 70s. So basically, it starts, this is the fourth season, it starts with Maggie Thatcher coming to power, and then we meet for the first time in the series the Lady Diana Spencer, as she is then, played by Emma Corrin. Who's comes across really well as that kind of slightly coy character, but one who you sense kind of knows her way. And the big story, of course, at this stage is that Charles has turned 30. And, you know, he's still having this sort of secret relationship with Camilla Parker Bowles that, you know, his uncle Dickie, Lord Mountbatten, is strongly disapproving of, and wants him to find, you know, settle down. So basically, he's being steered towards this marriage, which the consequences of which we're all too familiar with.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Yes, it all starts on Sunday. Mike, have a great weekend. Good
Cheers,
to talk
guys.
To you.
Take
care. You next week. Mike Ward there from the Star with his pick of the week's non-sport weekend's non-sporting telly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show with Andy still in isolation. I think the first three shows next week, he'll be from home, but back with us in the studio on Thursday. But the podcast continues, of course, and we'll bring that to you around 5 o'clock next Monday. And don't forget, the Clips of the Week podcast is available as well to download every Friday at 5. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.